Can you still be not in the will of God, even though you're not breaking the law? I ask that question because there's a thing called complacency. Anybody ever heard of complacency? I'm going to talk about two stories tonight. They're kind of the same, but they're different. The one is out of Acts 3, where it talks about a man being lame from his mother's womb and carried to this place, a gate called Beautiful. Every night, every day, they carried him to this place called Beautiful so that he could beg for alms. He went there to ask daily for the things that much of us take for granted that we have, or that the people in the place already had. You know, he went to beg every day for alms. Was it his fault he was born crippled? Wasn't his fault. Is it possible that somewhere in his mind he became okay with it? Think about it now. It's just something to think about. Is it possible that somewhere in his mind he became okay with that and he began to understand that this is who I am? This is my lot in life, to beg from others. I mean, because you imagine, day in, day out, same thing. Day in, day out, same thing. And it's easy to not accept responsibility when you don't think you have any responsibility in this matter. It'd be easy for me to say, the reason I drink every day is because my father wasn't around when I was a kid. Huh? I mean, come on. It'd be easy for me to claim that and hold on to that. The reason why I get high is because my mama got high when I was young, and I got molested when I was young, and nobody took care of me, so I had to start looking out for me, and so I decided I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm grown. And accept that is my lot in life. We got a saying we say in Narcotics Anonymous is called, an addict alone is in bad company. See, because I can talk myself into anything and make it sound worthwhile or make it sound good if it fits my comfort zone. We're talking about the beggar laid at the gate called Beautiful, born from lame from his mother's womb. Is it possible in his mind somewhere he had accepted that as his lot in life? The initial question for the night would be, can you be not, just because you're not breaking the law, does that mean you're living in the will of God? See, because it'd be easy for this man to say, well, he doesn't break the law. He doesn't break in anybody's houses. He's not out there drunk. He's not out doing that. But if you've accepted in your mind less than what God has for you, then you're doing living outside the will of God. If you're not believing in what God has for you, see, now this guy didn't know what was going on, it'd be easy for us to say, well, he'd been out there all these years. It'd be easy to say, well, he didn't have a choice. He didn't have a choice. You know, there's another guy at the Pool of Bethesda, where the five porches are. They took him to the Pool of Bethesda. 38 years, the Bible said he had been lame. Didn't never said how he got there. Said for 38 years, they carried him down to this Pool of Bethesda. And the Pool of Bethesda, every so often, the angel would come around and stir the water. And when the angel troubled the water, the first person in the water got healed. See, so around it, there were five porches around this pool, and that was loaded, packed, jam-packed with people who were halt, lame, maimed, and everything else, every infirmity you could think of. This guy had been here 38 years. Is it possible in his mind that he thought that's all it was for him? My lot in life. I could imagine getting in his mind saying, well, y'all take me down here today so I can get my bag of goods. You know what I mean? Just saying. Because I could imagine that they would give him stuff. People would give you stuff after a while. You know, you're begging stuff. So some days you pick, when you get up in the morning, get yourself ready, he gets his bag, I could imagine. I don't know this for sure. But I can imagine he gets his little bag, he gets ready because he's going down here to get his stuff. Not even understanding that there's a further calling in life. We're not carried to a pool daily. We're not brought to a gate called beautiful daily. But daily, we face what stands between us and our best life, deciding by the choices we have. People say all the time, well, I can't get a good job. You know, I got a felonies. You know, I did this, I did that. I used to be this, I used to be this. And because of the people in the house arrest, because of reentry court, we began to blame things outside of us to hold us back from living the best life that we can live because we're allowing something to get between us and God. And I'm going to tell you what that something is, whether we understand it or not. We can interpret it any way we would like, but that something is unbelief. If I believe, Alejandro, if you believe in all your heart, if you can get to Jesus, everything else going to be okay. I don't think all of us here can stop you from getting to him. If you believe that in your heart, you're going all the way. Because when Jesus looked up on the young man at the pool of Bethesda, he asked him, will I be made whole? He asked him, was he ready? Now, here's a guy who had, because of his mindset, because of what he was trained to believe, his first thought was, hey, there's no man to put me in. He didn't ask me that. He didn't ask you that. He didn't ask you that. He's, are you ready to do something different? Are you ready to take the next step? Are you ready to see today the reason that you've been coming down here all this time? See, you think in your mind you've been coming down here all this time to get this little bag of goods to take home and spread out and eat and munch on in front of the TV and put some away in this. That was never what you were down there for. That was something that you accumulated because you were down there. I sat right in this room for the last few years, and it's one couple. So love to see them. Believe with all my heart. Man, they're growing. Said a lot of the right things. Sitting right around the room with the mentors. Sitting right around the room with the preachers. Sitting right around the room with each other, brothers and sisters, who will pull alongside of you and help you. One night I got the call about 2 o'clock in the morning that both of them were dead. They both OD'd. I'm talking about from this room. They were in the place. But what were they here? Why were they here? And I'm not questioning the validity of them, but I'm questioning the validity of the situation. Was it just for the meal? Was it because I'm on house arrest and I wanted to get out some? Because I wanted to be able to get over and see so and so? Why did they come? And they were faithful people, always here. The truth is they missed it. God may rest the soul, rest in heaven, rest in peace. But they missed it. I look at my own life. Been knowing the word of God a long time. But I wasn't living my best life. I was okay. We was somebody carrying me. I was okay. And I can say these things, and there's no children in here. I was okay back in the day with living up under with some woman in her roof, prostituting myself out for a place to be. Now, we can call it what we want to call it, but that's what it is. We can call it anything we want to call it, but that's what it was. See, and I have learned that the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Today I live by myself. Because God said he would, when man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. But before I could find a wife, God had to first let me find me. He had to teach me how to be a husband. Don't know how to be no husband. I was a dope fiend. I was a liar and a thief. Old gangbanger. Old inmate down in every prison in Indiana at one time or another. I knew how to live that life, Alejandro. I knew how to live that. I knew how to walk those halls and play the game. I knew what to say. And I would read my Bible on the side. But something about reading that Bible on the side, just because I was I wasn't doing some of the things at that point, but I still wasn't living my best life because I wasn't trusting God to go all the way across and let him do what he needed to do in me. Because I didn't believe that he can do in me what he said he could do. See, to me, it's a difference of being saved. It's an absolute salvation for me today. It's not a being saved because I can say, well, I don't smoke rocks no more. No, I don't do a lot of things no more, Oscar. I don't do a lot of things no more. See, smoking rocks, I went to Narcotics Anonymous, and it promised me one thing. It promised me freedom from active addiction. But see, I wanted more than freedom from active addiction. I wanted a life. I wanted to be the man God called me to be. I want to step out. I want to, when I lay down, I want God to be able to say, well, good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I want God to be able to use me. I want somebody's life to have been different from me crossing the path. I didn't want to just be, I don't smoke rocks no more. I want to be able to do something. I want to have something to give. God said he made me the head and not the tail. He made me above and not beneath. He said he made me the lender and not the borrower. See, when I asked God to bring me a wife, I've been saved 10 years now. When I asked God to bring me a wife 10 years ago, I said, Lord, you got to teach me how to be a husband first. So I watched my brothers back there, good husbands. I know their wives. And I just didn't think I could ever measure up to that. Could I be the man, Lord, like that? Can I love somebody other than myself? Can I step outside of myself and be responsible? Can I work hard enough? Can I put enough money back? Can I do what I need to do that I can take care of my wife, that my wife don't have to work? Who would ever thought that from a 25-year crack addict? We're coming up on a 25-year crack addiction. Stealing everywhere, doing all kind of everything, breaking in places, in and out of prison. But God did that for me. God did that for me. I live in my own place today. I pay my own bills today. I don't have a bill I'm behind on today. Old dope fiend like me got an 800 credit score. Huh? And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm telling you what the hand of God will do when you believe more than just laying at that gate waiting on somebody to give you a sandwich or a bag of crackers or cookies, because there's so much more to life than that. So much more to life than that. I'm telling you, talking about an old dope fiend who walked in and I didn't have a credit. Wanted to get a car. Man, you don't even got no credit score. And I walked out with a new car. Because God does that for me. I had surgery about a week and a half ago. And my job told me, well, you don't have short-term disability here. I said, yeah, I pay for everything. You know, because I'm a responsible person today. I'm a steward over what God has given me. I said, yes, sir, it's got to be a mistake. So I paid for this. Well, we it's not on there, so we can't iron it. So I'm off work 7 weeks. With no pay. You know what? 80% of the men and women who worked beside me, that would have devastated them. But I know a man. I know a man that'll meet you at the pool. See, I know a man that'll meet you at that pool, brother. And it don't care about how long you've been there. It don't matter about how you got there. I know a man that will meet you at that pool and take you a little further. The first day the mayor's office called me. The mayor's office called me. Said, Mr. Kelsar, said, we're coming over there. Said, we're going to pay 2 months of your rent. We're going to pay 2 months of your phone bill. And we're going to pay for your insurance this month. Don't even worry about that part of it. Tell you what God will do with a life when you believe that you're more than just an old cripple laying at the gate. When you believe in God, because I don't, when they told me that, I told a lady at work, and this is what I told her. See, the head, he was, I said, listen. I said, you really need to educate people about this. I said, because 80% of my coworkers would be homeless, put in that same situation. I said, I'm blessed to know the Lord. I said, so I don't worry about that. So you ain't got to worry about old Lyle. Old Lyle's not going to miss a meal. I said, I don't know where it's coming from. I know it's coming from the hand of God. Because I know what he said. I believe the promises of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I call on the promises of God. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you do the same thing. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it looks like. On paper, that would have devastated me. To be able not to work and laid up without bringing any income and those kind of things. But God had brought me from the guttermost to the uttermost. I'm telling you what God will do in your life. But you got to believe it's more than, well, I'm not getting high today. You know what? See, I quit getting high. I want to stop cussing. I want to stop stealing. I want to stop doing everything. I wanted to stop sleeping around. You know what I mean? I wanted to stop doing that thing that you didn't see me do just because nobody's looking. Been 10 years since I laid in the bed with a woman. 10 years I've been celibate. I can say that because I'm proud of what God, he's kept me. Now I'm getting married soon. And I told God when I said, Lord, you got to make me pure. When I prayed about a wife, I said, Lord, you know I'm not a virgin. I said, in fact, Lord, I'm way far from it. I've done some everything you can think of. I said, but God, I want you to make me pure to my wife. I want you to make, I said, Lord, if you'll keep me, I won't jump in the bed with nobody. I'll hold on till you bring me a wife. That way when we get married, Lord, I can be the best me I can be to her. And it's because it's more than just going to that water looking for a handout. So I want to challenge you as I close tonight. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these your people, Father. Lord, I pray that you go before them to prepare hearts and minds to receive them, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, open up their hearts and their minds, Father God. Give them a spiritual understanding of who you are. Lord, when they begin to see for real who you are, Lord, then only can they begin to understand who they are. That we can only begin to be the men and women that you call us to be. Lord, bless our homes, Lord. Let them be in peace as we go there tonight, Father God, Lord. Bless our finances, Father God. Bless our ministry. Bless our health, Father God. Lord, let us be beacons of light that we can pass this on to anyone who's lost the way. Help us not to become complacent, Lord, and get rid of that'll do spirit, because that won't do. Lord, all I want the best that you've got for me. I want the best you, Lord, that there is, that you can make the best me that I could be. And Father, we're careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And in Jesus' name we said, thank God. Amen.